In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit we may be always wise, never rejoice in his consolation, through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lady Fatima,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Ignatius,
Saint
Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint Teresa of Avila,
pray for us.
Saint Alphonsus Liguori,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Good afternoon. There was once a little boy that was talking with his abuelito, his grandfather, and the grandfather was talking with little boy about catechism, about mass, about confession. Then they arrived at the topic of prayer, and the grandfather asked the little boy, he said, "Do you pray every night?" And the little boy says, "Every night before I go to bed, I always religiously say my prayers, and I never miss my prayers." Then the grandfather asks him, "Well, do you pray your prayers in the morning?" And the little kid looked dumbfounded. And he said, "No, I never pray in the morning." And the grandfather said, "Well, why didn't you pray in the morning?" And the little boy said, "Because in the morning, I'm not afraid." So of the many topics that we can address, I'd like to address what I believe to be the most important topic. And it's the topic that I, as a priest and religious, I promote most as a priest and religious. And I purposely chose to give a generic title so I could go in a lot of different directions with a generic kind of... And my title is Season of Grace. So you can go in tons of directions with that. So when I was praying the other day, I had this inspiration. You haven't given a talk in a long time specifically on prayer, so we're going to talk about prayer, okay? That's why I purposely told you that humorous anecdote on prayer, because that's what we're going to be talking about. There is nothing more important in the whole world than learning how to pray and praying. I repeat, there's nothing in the whole world more important than learning how to pray and praying. I was late because I was giving another retreat in, I don't know how to pronounce, Rancho Cucamonga. I was giving a retreat. Did I say it right? So we hit traffic. There was an accident, 6:05. So that's why I'm a little bit late. I apologize, no? But you are in good company, right? The best of company. God allows evil to bring greater good out of it. Amen?
Amen.
There's no more important topic or activity in our life than to learn how to pray, but to put the prayer into practice. Now listen, Being a professional teacher, as well as a teacher for many years, I can teach you people how to pray. I can. I can talk about prayer. I can teach you how to pray. But I cannot give you the desire to pray. I can't. After my talk, I'll be praying for you that you'll have the desire to pray, but I can't give that to you. I set up programs on marrying consecration, the spiritual exercises. They're all related to prayer, right? Some of you, most of you have done the programs. They're all related to prayer. So I can teach you how to pray. So I'm going to try to give you the instruments, but I can't give you the desire. And I beg the Blessed Mother that this Lent, all of you will have a real desire to pray. Amen?
Amen.
As the deer yearns for the running streams, so my soul yearns for you, O Lord my God. Psalm 42. When you're in desolation, thank God for the many gifts that He's given to you. Among the many gifts I thank God for is I thank God for good parents. Really thankful for that. My father died about a year ago. We had him for 88 years. Thanks be to God. But I thank God for this grace, that ever since I was a little child, I always liked to pray. Even when I was going to the retreat and coming back, I was accompanied by Mary, and we prayed four rosaries, right, Mary? Oh, five rosaries, sorry, okay. Prayed five rosaries, the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, For me, that was normal. That was normal. I'm playing five rosaries. We're in the car for an hour and a half. Well, obviously we're going to turn my car into a mobile chapel. We're going to be using that. But I consider it to be a huge grace that I always like to pray. And I've been a priest for 31 years. I don't remember ever in 31 years a child coming up to me and saying, Father, I love to pray. In 31 years. Which is sad. But I've always liked to pray. That's probably why I'm a priest. Is I always like to pray. I didn't have to be forced. I like to pray. Good parents, obviously, instilled the rudiments, the foundation. And I consider that to be maybe the greatest grace that God has given to me is that I love to pray and I love to try to get people to pray. Spiritual exercises, consecration, rosary. You know why? Principle and foundation. If I can get you to pray well, you're going to go to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
If I can get you to pray well, you're going to get to heaven. You might get into heaven with your pants burnt, you know. You know, maybe in the back door. You'll be in purgatory for a while, no? But if you really learn how to pray well, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. We have a very erudite group here this afternoon, I would have to say. And probably all of you have read the stories of the Desert Fathers, right? More than once, no? Great stories. One of my favorite related to this topic is a young man goes to a Desert Father and says, I want to be a monk. And the Desert Father, an old, salty, well-trained abbot for many years, said, are you sure you really want to be a monk? Yes. Are you sure about that? Yes. Okay, you're going to have to go through the novitiate and the postulancy. Postulancy means time of trial. And novitiate means no vice. You have to end up with any vices, okay? So this is the first trial. So he took him down to the lake. He said, are you ready? Yes. So the monk took him down into the lake and he put him underneath the water for 10 seconds, 20 seconds, 30 seconds, 45 seconds, a minute and 10 seconds, and he said, you should long more for prayer than the air you're breathing. Amen? Great story, huh? Because he couldn't live without that air. We cannot live without a deep prayer life. Therefore, for many years on my radio program, they would start off with my program with a phrase that I coined. And it was this. As air is to our lungs, so prayer is to our soul. Amen? As air is to our lungs, so prayer is to our soul. You don't breathe, you're going to die. You don't pray, you're going to die spiritually. Remember as a child, I was always a good athlete, and I was always a good swimmer. So I'd dive in the water and swim sometimes 20, 30, 40, 45, maybe a minute underneath the water. Without the monk dunking me in, okay? When I came up out of the water, oh, how sweet that air was. Hey, how sweet that air was. Que dulce. How sweet that was, huh? So we should be longing for prayer, desiring prayer, more than our lungs long to fill it up with good, clear oxygen. Amen? So, what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you a few definitions and the importance, and talk a little bit about the prayer of Jesus, and then I'll give you some tips. I learned as a teacher, before you talk about the topic, this comes from Aquinas, give the definition. So let me give you a couple of definitions of prayer. Some of you have read the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Have you heard of it? The most important book in Catholicism in the past 50 years would be the CCC, Catechism of the Catholic Church, published under the supervision of Cardinal Ratzinger and John Paul II. The fourth part is on prayer. And the Catechism starts off by giving definitions that the little flower gives. And a definition given by St. John Damascene, who was an Eastern doctor of the Church. And hopefully you'll memorize this. Prayer is lifting up your mind and heart to God. Can you say that with me? Prayer is lifting up your mind and heart to God. How about with your hands? Prayer is lifting up your mind and heart to God. Isn't that a beautiful definition? St. John Damascene. So, your mind is thinking about God, and your heart is longing for God. Another definition. Definition from St. Teresa of Avila. Got a couple of Carmelite nuns here, huh? If I had to summarize prayer in one word from Teresa of Avila, or three words, it would be amistad con Dios. Okay? Amistad con Dios. ¿Habla español? Prayers. Teresa of Avila says, oraciones no más, pasando tiempo largo con aquel que yo sé que me ama. But in simple English, prayer is nothing more than spending a long time in silence with the one that I know loves me. Beautiful definition. So silence, long time, dialogue of friendship with Jesus Christ. Like it? I don't. I love it. Great definition. Father Greg Staub was here years ago. He actually wrote the Catechism. And you know, his definition of prayer is the simplest, but I really like it. What did Father Greg Staub say in his Catechism? Prayer is listening to God. Joan, prayer is speaking to God, and prayer is loving God. Prayer is listening to God. Are you listening? You hear me? Okay. Prayer is listening to God. Prayer is speaking to God. Prayer is loving God. I love that definition. You have to listen. Are you listening to me? Me or Aaron, huh? Okay. You have to listen to God. Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. We like to say, listen, O Lord, for your servant is speaking, huh? We like to turn it around, huh? Then we talk to the Lord, using your own words. But the most important is you are loving God. All authentic prayer should lead us to loving God. That's the essence of prayer. That we, in our prayer, we grow to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. All authentic prayer. That's why our Catholic religion, we have a lot of rules, but the essence of Catholicism, our religion, is a love affair. Women love this, huh? It's a love affair. It's falling in love with Christ. How many people here are married? Casado o cansado? Hey, remember when you fell in love with your spouse? In your courtship, you want to spend more and more time talking and you're dating and going out and then dancing and having a nice conversation at the restaurant and this and talking on the phone. You all went through a process of what is called falling in love. Now your love for God should be 100 times stronger. Amen? Human love is great. But it can't be compared to divine love. Light years difference. Hopefully one day you'll understand me. If you go deep in prayer, you'll understand what I'm talking about. Okay, now the importance of prayer. Saint Augustine says this. He who prays well, lives well. He who lives well, dies well. He who dies well, all is well. Amen? Who prays well, lives well. He who lives well, dies well. Who dies well, all is well. how important prayer is. Our salvation depends on our prayer life. Quoted in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, St. Alphonsus, he says, the person that really prays well will be saved. The person who doesn't pray will be damned. The person that prays poorly jeopardizes his salvation. So, if you were to, this evening, after the retreat, ask the Lord for a mystical grace to be able to go and visit two places. Hell, temporarily, and visit heaven. And you're to make an interview. If you're to interview all the souls in hell, ask them, why are you here? Every damned soul will say, I'm here because I didn't pray. You go to heaven. You ask them, why are you here in heaven? It's not because of my keen intellect or because of my good looks or because of my wit and charm. I'm here because I learned to pray and I put it into practice. That is a truism. The saved are there because of the grace that came through prayer. The damned are lost because they neglected prayer. Now, on one occasion, St. Alphonsus Liguori was giving a mission. And he'd always talk about prayer. And at the end of his talk, the people were just fascinated at the wisdom that came out of this great saint. They started to compliment him. And he said, the primary reason why you listened to me and my words were able to reach to your heart is because that altar boy was praying the rosary for me when I was giving my homily. Prayer. It was prayer. So let's take the life of Jesus. Jesus lived about 33 years. His private life lasted, you know how long? About 30 years. What did Jesus do in his private life? He obeyed his parents. He worked as a carpenter and he prayed. It was a 30-year retreat. Not 30-day. 30-year retreat in Nazareth. We don't have too much about this, but we know that this was his primary staple, was his deep union with the Father in those 30 years. Okay, let's move from his private life to his public life. What do we see Jesus doing first? He's baptized. Now you got Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. St. Luke presents Jesus being baptized saying that he is absorbed in prayer. He's absorbed in prayer. Okay, what did we start last Wednesday? Ash Wednesday, right? And we entered into what? Season of Lent. Do any of you know what is always the first, the gospel for the first Sunday of Lent? Any of you know? It's always the same topic. Hello? The temptation of Jesus. So tomorrow we have the Markan version, which is only two verses. You don't have the three temptations. Just that he was tempted by the devil, then the angels came to minister him. And he's with the animals. But what did Jesus do for 40 days? He prayed, and he fasted, and he battled with who? Battle with the devil. You want to conquer the devil? There's only one path. You have to go deeper in your prayer life. Otherwise, the devil will conquer you. When we're prayerful, we got God on our side, we can conquer all the devils in hell. Amen? We don't pray, we're weak. We're fragile. We're vulnerable. We're prone to fall. So, prayer gives us the power to overcome the devil, the flesh, and the world. Okay, who did Jesus choose to follow him? The apostles, right? Do you know what he did the night before he chose the apostles to follow him? Any of you know? He said just one short prayer. Jesus spent the whole night in prayer before choosing the apostles. What should you do before making important decisions? Go to McDonald's? No. Pray. And pray. And pray to the Holy Spirit for light. What did Jesus do before he did miracles? He looked up to heaven and he talked to God the Father. So the life of Christ, the 30 years in his retreat in Nazareth, was prayer. A good part of it was prayer. In his public life, he would be preaching and teaching and exercising, but spending a lot of time in prayer. The apostles came up to our Lord and said, Lord, teach us how to pray, as John the Baptist taught his disciples. From that we have our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So that's a prayer that we should use. We should be praying, Lord, teach me to pray. Amen? Lord, teach me to pray is a great prayer. Now, Jesus' teaching on prayer, Luke chapter 18, is probably about the best chapter you have in which Jesus is not only praying, but he's a teacher of prayer. And Jesus taught by means of stories. They're called parables. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly message. Okay? Earthly story. But there's a heavenly message. First parable is of the insistent widow who comes up to this judge demanding justice, and he keeps rebuffing her. Then what does he say? I better give in to her, otherwise she's going to do me violence. The message there is that we have to persevere in prayer. Matthew 7:7, Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock. Whoever asks, whoever seeks, whoever knocks, that's called perseverance. For that reason, Teresa of Avila, debemos tener una determinada determinación para nunca dejar la oración. We have to have a determined determination to never give up prayer. Never give it up. What did Ignatius say? You don't feel like praying your holy hour? Do 62 minutes. Yeah. You don't feel like praying? Pray even more. The second parable is a parable of the Pharisee and the publican. Pharisee praised himself. I pray, I fast a couple of times a week, and I thank God I'm not like that publican there in the corner. And the publican would not even lift up his eyes to heaven. And he would beat his breast saying, Lord God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Which of the two went home justified? Hello? It was the poor publican. Why? Because he was humble. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church says one of the greatest obstacles to prayer is our pride. You hear that? It's our pride. If we're proud, we're closing the door to the Holy Spirit. We're closing the door to God's grace. We've got to be humble. And then, finally, talking about Jesus and prayer, Jesus gives us the best prayer model in the first sorrowful mystery, which is the agony in the garden. Question for you. Was Jesus in the agony? Was he in consolation or desolation? A slight desolation or a profound desolation? Who was with him? That motley group of apostles, right? What a motley group, huh? What a contrast. Jesus was in desolation. Did he pray? Was it kind of a lackadaisical, tepid, anemic prayer? It was a fervent prayer. Fire! Fire! He prayed with all of his heart, so much so that he sweat blood. I think one of our problems is that we pray, but we're lacking fervor. We know how to pray, we practice prayer, but we're lacking fire. We're lacking fervor. We're lacking a desire. And that's the purpose of this talk, to really pray for you and you pray for me that we'll have fervor, we'll have fire. A prayer that will be able to move mountains. The apostles, how was their prayer? If you ever pray at night, this is your prayer. You're praying at night, I'm going to say my prayers, I'm going to be faithful, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, our Father who art in heaven. And as a result of that, they left him. You're going to notice in your life that there is a direct proportion to our falling into sin and our lack of prayer. I think that you can even study it mathematically. You don't pray, look at your sins. You pray fervently, you got more trials and crosses, that happens, right? But you're able to stay afloat. You're able to fight the good fight. You're able to run the good race. You're able to conquer the temptations, because who's helping you to conquer the temptations? It is God. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
If God is with us,
Amen.
The Lord is my shepherd. When I'm weak, therefore I am. You know the Bible more than the Protestants. Hey. We have to prove to the Protestants that we know just as much the Word of God as they know. Huh? You proved it. 4 in a row, no? We don't pray. Look at the apostles. They ran away. They gave in to cowardice. So the life of our Lord is a life in which He works, but also Jesus prays. He prays constantly. He prays a filial prayer. He prays a prayer of trust in His eternal Father, and He prays an efficacious prayer. So we want to really beg the Lord in this Lent. If there's any proposal that I would suggest, is that we begin this Lent, beg for the grace to really pray well. Amen? Pray well. Pray with all of your heart. So I'd like to get down to brass tacks. And I want to give you about 3 suggestions on how you can upgrade your prayer life. Are you listening? The first is this. You know, Teresa of Avila would never accept any woman into the convent who could not read. The Poor Clares, they could, okay? Poor Clares. But Teresa of Avila would never allow a nun into the convent who could not read. Why? Because she really believed that people, you know, it's good to go to school, of course, but people that know how to read, they can learn the art of prayer. They can learn how to pray. Of course, as I'm saying in my talk, I'm going to give you some tools on to help you to pray. But you have to beg for the desire to pray. So, my first suggestion is this. Read a good book on prayer. How many of us here could say that we've read good books on prayer? Maybe not. You read a good book on prayer, that's going to enlighten your intellect. And hopefully it'll go from your mind into your heart. So some of you might say, well, Father Broom, what book should I read on prayer? There are many. And as Father Thomas Dubé says, that we only have enough time to read the best books. Busy people only have enough time to read the best books. So my first suggestion is, read the Catechism of the Catholic Church. That is a spiritual masterpiece. So please, that can be a Lenten practice. Maybe every night before we go to bed, spend 10 minutes reading the fourth part of the catechism, which explains what prayer is. Second, Father Tim Gallagher, an Oblate priest who's been on EWTN and is still is for many years, who is a spiritual master of St. Ignatius, and he also is an Oblate priest. He's been with us several times giving us seminars and conferences. Once I was talking with him at the table, and he said, as a child, maybe he was 13, no one taught him how to meditate. But he fell upon a book written by Saint Francis de Sales. The name of that book is Introduction to the Devout Life. Father Tim, as a teenager, he said he read this, and by reading this book, he learned the art of meditation. So Saint Francis de Sales is a great saint. He's a doctor of the church. Reading the Introduction to the Devout Life will really help you to understand prayer better, prayer method, topics of prayer, colloquy in prayer, praying with your mind but also praying with your heart. Okay, next. If you really take prayer seriously, sooner or later, all of us have to be exposed to the doctor of prayer. That is? Oh, boy. Teresa of Avila. Okay? St. Teresa of Avila is the doctor of prayer. In the Catholic Church, no one has written more as well as more eloquently in prayer than Teresa of Avila. Read La Vida, her autobiography. Read Il Camino di Perfección, The Way of Perfection, was an explanation of the Our Father. Then read The Interior Castle, in which he gives you the different levels of prayer. Vocal prayer, mental prayer, affective prayer, prayer of quiet, and then the different stages of what is called mystical prayer, culminating at what is called transforming union. This is Teresa of Avila. Anyone who takes prayer seriously will sooner or later start to read Teresa of Avila. And finally, I would suggest that you read a modern author, one of the most prolific writers in the United States in spirituality, and his name is Father Thomas Dubé. Have any of you heard of Father Thomas Dubé? He died about 2 years ago. And he's an excellent writer. And he's written three excellent books on prayer. Prayer Primer, giving you the basic nuts and bolts of prayer. Deep Prayer, Deep Conversion, which he actually went to Alhambra giving a retreat on that topic. And his masterpiece is Fire Within. Okay? That would be considered one of his greatest works, which Father Thomas Dubé gives a synthesis of the prayer of Teresa of Avila and St. John of the Cross. So reading. And two more suggestions. would be this. We want to grow deep in our prayer life. We have to beg the Master of Prayer. And the Master of Prayer is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8. We read, St. Paul, moved by the Holy Spirit, says, we don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba, Father. So when you approach the Lord in prayer, make a habit of praying to the Holy Spirit. Tell the Holy Spirit, beg the Holy Spirit, saying, really, I don't know how to pray as I should. Learn a formal prayer of the Holy Spirit and speak to Him in the depths of your heart. One of my favorite prayers is, come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit and they shall be created. Thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Beautiful prayer. So the Holy Spirit is known as the interior master of prayer. He will teach you. He will guide you. He will enlighten you. So going back to what I said at the very beginning of the talk, I'm going to be begging the Holy Spirit for great desire to pray. And finally, if we want to pray, never neglect the Blessed Virgin Mary. John Paul II said that his favorite prayer was the Rosary. Pope Francis said that he prays three rosaries a day. Pope John the 23rd prayed the 15 decades. I prayed five rosaries today, okay? So we should never, never allow a day to go by in which we do not fall in love with God through the Immaculate Heart of Mary in praying the Rosary. Our Lady of Fatima appeared. She appeared six times in 1917. And Our Lady of Fatima said every time, pray the Rosary. Pray the Rosary. Pray the Rosary. Pray the Rosary. We are living in very difficult times. We've never lived in more difficult times in the history of the world. I, in a certain sense, would be fearful for your children as well as your grandchildren. They're living in tough times. So we have to utilize powerful means to be able to overcome the enemy. About 3,000 years ago, there was a boy that had to fight a ferocious enemy. The name of that boy was David. And that ferocious enemy was? Who was that enemy? Goliath. David had no experience Goliath was a big man. David was a small man. It's like Father Larry, Father Broom, okay? Don't tell him I said that, okay? And Goliath went after David, saying, I'm going to chop your head off, and I'm going to throw your body to the birds of the sky. And David, running to the battle line, said this, you come in the name of your false gods, but I come in the name of the King of heaven and earth. David put his hand in his pouch, and he pulled out a little stone. He put that stone in his slingshot, and he wound up. You see it? He wound up, and he launched that little stone. And the little stone was riveted in the head of the humongous giant named Goliath. And he crashed to the ground, unconscious. David ran up to him, and with the giant's own sword, David took it, and 1, 2, 3, he cut the giant's head off. Victory. If we want to overcome materialism, consumerism, agnosticism, militant atheism, the gay agenda, transgenderism, we want to overcome these ugly giant Goliaths in our modern world, we have to turn to Mary. We have to pray the rosary. We have to consecrate ourselves to her Immaculate Heart. And if we do that, the victory will be ours because the victory will be the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And bless the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. O Lady Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.